Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
That was CBS play-by-play broadcaster Andrew Catalan when you could actually hear him. Of course, the audio issues for CBS were fixed in the second half as well. The memes, lols, and jokes that were all over social media in the first half were very entertaining, as was the game, four quarters long. And I would like to share a double tweet involving some co-workers of ours, Andy Hart, as we get into hour number two here of the Six Rings postgame show live on WEEI. In victory, this is our first like postgame show with a victory that we're celebrating in a while. Because if you remember back to last week, didn't count. That didn't count. No, the one, last one we did in January was a win technically that we were bemoaning and, you know, ranting and raving about for 3 hours. And of course, it featured the dismissal of 1 year head coach Gerard Mayo as well. So it's nice to actually do a victory postgamer hat. So Adam Jones tweeted out about 45 minutes ago, the Milkman. Now, of course, that's the new nickname for Milton Williams that they workshopped on the midday show because they called him Milt the Stilt or the Milkman. He said, no, my friends called me the Milkman because I always deliver. And it's quote tweeted by our boss at Ken Laird, WEEI. The Milkman always delivers. That was the best worst football game ever played. Is that a proper assessment of this afternoon's affair from Jimmy Buffett Stadium down in Miami Gardens?
Yeah, I don't know what the other candidates for that honor would be, but it's in...
dubious distinction.
It's definitely worthy of consideration. Like, I enjoyed it. It was thoroughly entertaining. You know, somebody on my mentions compared it to, like, a Little League game that just goes back and forth, and you're like, yeah, these kids all kind of stink. But that was kind of fun for 2 hours on a Friday night at the local ballpark. Yeah, there were just, from a coaching perspective, there were just things that you hate that would drive you nuts for both teams in all three phases. Literally, both teams, all three phases must be driven nuts, all coordinators and head coaches. And so, yes, but it was entertaining, and I'd much rather see this. And I'd also much rather see this when my quarterback hasn't made 17 starts, when my coach hasn't made three starts as the head coach of the, you know what I mean? Like, comparing the two teams, the Dolphins are supposed to be in the midst of, like, their strong run with Tua and Tyreek and Mike McDaniel. Instead, they're toast. The Patriots are trying to find their way. We want them to accelerate it. Sure, we have expectations, whatever. But they're in week two of the McDaniel, May, Vrabel era of doing business in New England. And they got the victory in Miami, a place they had not won since 2019, a place where historically gives them... So, yeah, it was a crappy game.
We almost had a Miami Miracle 2.0 because in 2018, that was the Kenyon Drake return where Gronk was... he's the one who ultimately scored, I believe, on the five-time lateral involving Ryan Tannehill back when he still played for Miami. And, of course, Gronk was inserted at safety to knock down a Hail Mary that never happened. We almost had that with Devon Achane. Again, he made the mistake, yet it gets chalked up to the Patriots found a way. I agree. It wasn't like the best worst game ever played, but it was a sloppy affair that was thoroughly entertaining. And at no point over those 3 hours did I think, "Ugh, I can't believe I have to cover this game. Why am I inside on this gorgeous late summer day watching football?" I was thoroughly entertained as well. We'll get to aisle cleanup and the things all of those coordinators need to work through and what should be a very busy week down in Foxborough as well. Hopefully they are celebrating a little bit on the plane ride home because Vrabes and May in his 13th start. I know technically it says 14 because he started the last game of the year last year, but that was a Joe Milton game all the way through. So second win for Drake May as well, which is a big one. Josh McDaniels has to feel better about the connection he's establishing with his quarterback and more. But let's get to the phones, Andy. We haven't checked in with our Pats people in quite some time. It's 617-779-7937. Our old pal Danny's in Rhode Island. Danny, you're up first on Six Rings and Football Things postgame show. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you been? Long time, no time.
Been a minute. How are you?
Still vertical as always, Fitz. Still vertical. Two quick things. One, it's obvious that coaching makes a difference, especially when you have an offensive coordinator that knows how to call a game and have the right plays dialed up when they're needed, i.e. setting up screens when blitzes come. You can just see it makes all the difference in the world. There's more balance. That's just good coaching, real good coaching. And two, this is my biggest frustration. It's obvious to me, even after 2 weeks, that Steph Diggs is a possession receiver. He's not an alpha receiver. I didn't think he was going to be, but he's not. And Booty's a nice player. Douglas is a nice player. These guys will pop up once in a while, but they're not alpha players that you can't count on them to be. And it's criminal what they're doing to me by him not having one. My point is, if it's the trading deadline, if it's free agency, whatever, any single alpha receiver who is 27 or younger, how great would it be if the Dolphins blow it up, that Jalen Waddle becomes, they put him on the block. The Patriots should be the first in line for every single person that could be on the line. You know what I mean? Anybody else, all those other guys fall in line, and it makes a world of difference. It's just so frustrating to watch. Like, Ramondre Stevenson was the leading receiver today. That's ridiculous. I know it was one chunk play, but that is ridiculous. They have to get an alpha in here. It's one way or another, because they're never going to get anywhere on offense until they get somebody like that. Devonta Smith, anybody under the age of 27, please, if there's a freaking God on this planet, please give us an alpha receiver. That is all.
Good call. Thanks, Danny. Ken. Thanks. Great to hear from you as always. And his line's open at 617-779-7937. So on the Steph Diggs affair, okay. Diggs ends up with, I believe, 3 for 30, so half of his production from last week. As a matter of fact, here, checking actually 4 for 32, Andy, so 8 yards a catch. That was definitely possession receiver-esque, if you will. He had that big first down over the middle when Drake was slightly pressured early in the first quarter. That was a nice play. The rest of the catches didn't seem to, well, I won't say they didn't amount to a hill of beans, but he was not an impactful player. And again, we have to remember that the expectations need to be measured, because we are now precisely 10 and a half months removed from him getting ACL reconstruction surgery, and he's 31 years old. But when you pay somebody this, and this is what happens, this is how money always queers the math. When you pay somebody $23 million a season, since that is up near, if not barely in, the stratosphere of elite wide receiver one contracts and finances, I think people expect a little bit more. So where are you with what you expected from Steph Diggs versus what his output is as a wide receiver? I mean, they had no wide receiver one today. So, it was Ramondre Stevenson. He led all receivers, 5 for 88, 56 of which came on the miracle wheel. Where are you with the whole Diggs impact thus far?
Well, I have to be consistent, since I was concerned that he'd even be ready to start the year. He's ahead of schedule for me. Mm-hmm. He's on the field week one and two. He's catching passes. He's helping you win a football game today with some production. That said, I do think you look at it and say they don't have a number one receiver. They don't have a playmaker. Ty Law has beaten this drum for years on the Greg Hill Morning Show with his appearances on Tuesdays. There's no one that scares a defense. You can argue the scariest guys on the offense are in the backfield, and that doesn't really do the deed, right? Like, you're not rolling coverages to this side or that because they're in the backfield. A, they're in the middle of the offensive formation, but B, that's just not how it works. And until they get that guy, it's going to be challenging. It makes life harder when you don't have one of those. It's like my whole theory, you know, aces and closers.
Closer.
When you don't have those guys, it puts so much more stress on the other players, the manager, everybody in the organization. When you do have those guys, it's like, we all just kind of take a breath and settle into our other roles and don't have to try to be something we're not. For now, you don't have one. I just tweeted out, for me, the disappointment is, I don't know what the hell's going on with Pop Douglas. I know he's not going to be a true number one receiver, but I thought he was going to be a volume guy. He has 3 catches, for 6 yards over two games.
We're on the positive side of history, though, right now, at least.
Oh, yeah. That's
no,
great.
Honestly, like, and the broadcast.
992 yards shy of the 1,000 yards we were talking about.
Okay, yeah, but didn't you already go out there this week during a three-point stance on afternoons and say, like, did you say it was put up or shut up time? Or did
yeah,
you say,
I'm kind of done with him. He's not what I – we're in year three. We're in week three. He's not going to be the next great slot receiver. Now, you guys were wrong, too, because Efton Chisholm is still where Efton Chisholm goes to die,
you're
and that's
telling
the inactive
me, you're,
list.
You're telling me Chismania can't impact
nope,
this
I'm
offense?
Not telling you that. Mike Vrabel's telling you that.
I know.
I'm not saying anything. The inactive list is answering for you. The inactive list is telling
you
what they think. No, that's a fact. You can't disagree. They don't believe he can help them, because if they thought he could help them, he wouldn't be on the inactive list.
That's fine. That can be their assessment.
So you're saying Mike Vrabel's wrong? Josh McDaniels is wrong? Is that what you're saying?
In this particular case, yeah, that's exactly
Fitzy
what I'm saying.
Fitzy hates Vrabel. 617-779-7937.
Nope. Now you are literally taking words, mutifying them for your benefit, and trying to make me the bad guy.
But they don't have a receiver, Dan's right. And no, I got bad news for Dan. I don't know how you're getting that receiver.
Oh, who is it? By the way, who is it? Is it going to be A.J. Brown, who's 29?
No. I know everybody, you and everybody else in the world, when they want like a buzz, it's like, Fitzy needs a three-point stance that can get, why don't we do A.J. Brown again? Colin Cowherd's like, you know what I need? I need that clip to go viral. Let's talk about the Patriots getting A.J. Brown again.
I haven't talked about A.J. Brown since I got that good info back in late April.
Was it good info? Was it good
info? It was. Well, you would never know, though, because it involved Abdul Carter slipping to the Patriots. Did Abdul Carter make it to the Patriots? Nah, he went to the Giants.
He was never pretty good.
It was pretty good.
A.J. Brown, the dead cap hit, it just doesn't make sense. I lost my Garrett Wilson dream because he signed his extension with the Jets. I thought he might fall out of love with them. I don't know. I don't hate what Dan just brought up. I've always kind of been a Jalen Waddle guy, and if the Dolphins blow it up, could he be available? I also enjoyed
both of them, though, because you know Tyreek's going to demand out of there yesterday.
Well, if he's gone, then maybe you do just blow it up and try to get everything you can and start over. You know what I really liked about him today? This is very weird. When he celebrated Tyreek Hill's 47-yard catch, no, Jalen Waddle, when he celebrated his catch with him, that was the kind of thing that I like to, like, it's meaningless, but he was aware that there was, like, this dark cloud over a teammate, that that meant something. He had energy. He was almost doing the donkey thing that the Celtics did a few years ago. He was going to jump on his back kind of thing.
Shrek and donkey.
Yeah, and I like that. I like a guy that's engaged with the whole world of his teammates. I think he's a talented guy. I don't know if he's a true number one. That's the one problem. Mm. He's not as good as I thought he was going to be coming into the league.
You can say, though, that if Jalen Waddle were to somehow find his way in New England, he would immediately become a number one.
And also,
that's the truth of almost every receiver that comes to New England now, not named Mack Hollins. Like,
I mean, it's
New
pretty
England,
much true of
be the
any
receiver.
If you're a one or a two on another team, you'd be the absolute one here. There's no questions.
There are some threes on other
probably
teams.
Probably some threes. Maybe
here.
Some fours. I haven't looked at all the depth charts around the league. Like, we've talked about Jakobi Meyers. He's not a one. He'd be your one. He is not a one, but he'd be your one if he came here. But
sure.
the dream of getting a true number one, unless you suck this year really bad and end up with a top 10 pick.
Ten.
You get a top 10 pick, you got a chance, because there's a couple receivers in there. But other than that, I don't know how you're going to get it. Teams keep holding on to those guys. T. Higgins, Garrett Wilson, like all these contracts, all the money in the league and the salary cap. It's you're going to have to. I hate to say this. You're going to have to draft one, and you're not very good at drafting them.
What are you talking about? Jalen Polk, he got the Patriots a 2026 seventh rounder.
Yeah. No. He got.
No. Don't. We're not.
Had to send
not,
a pick with him.
Don't. Don't get me going. Yeah, you had to literally send a pick with him to get it. No, I'm sorry.
You had to send
a 2027 seventh and Jalen Polk in order to get a 2026.
You know what that was? You know my whole theory.
That proof that N'Keal Harry had a better career than Jalen Polk. Yes.
No, that was my example of you had the yard sale. No one bought your Jalen Polk. Then you put it out front. No one would take your Jalen Polk. Now you had to call the junk guy and pay him $20 with his pickup truck to get the gosh darn Jalen Polk off your lawn so you could mow and, you know, go about your business. That's what that was. You had to pay to get rid of your junk.
Jalen Polk has a great ass.
Well,
that would be the stat. That would not be his posterior. That's the DVOA hole of WEEI. Chris Schein from The Morning Show. That is his stat. I don't even know what ass is as a stat. I don't care. All I know is Jalen Polk is officially now.
It's a meaningless stat if Jalen Polk had a great ass. That stat means nothing because he's a bad wide receiver.
I exhaled with, shall we say, some intimate fury there moments ago because I just checked the box score of Giants at Cowboys, final and overtime. Cowboys won 40-37. Did you see Malik Neighbors? Now, you want to talk about the impact a number one receiver can have. And this is with Russell Wilson.
Ooh, Neighbors,
dangerous.
Let's go get him.
I'm sure the Giants would part ways with him no problem. Although
don't
he,
they
like,
owe
many
us for something?
Yeah,
we
something.
Gave them two Super Bowls. They owe us a receiver.
I know, right? You got to figure they would at least do us.
Give me a little
something
for the effort.
A little something for the effort. Malik Neighbors today, 9 receptions, 167 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Wait, that's allowed?
Yeah. Oh, no.
You're allowed to do things like that at the wide receiver
position? Even from your veteran journeyman quarterback. And hey,
because the Patriots had two guys that had touchdowns. Those were their only catches on the day. One catch.
Yeah, Matt Collins, 1 for 13 and a touchdown. If you thought he was going to do more after that, you was wrong. And Kayshon Booty last week, 6 for 103 at the Patriots' home debut under Mike Vrabel. This week, 1 for 16. Impactful catch as it was for a touchdown, but...
Your boy ML football might have to update his year-long projections that were so idiotic on Twitter last week that he was on pace for 1,780 yards and all the blah, blah, blah. Yeah, run those numbers again, ML. See what you get back to me with.
Hey, hold on. You don't get out from underneath. You were a believer in Pop Douglas for a while, and then you walked it back this week. Just because you threw him into your discarded Memorial Christian Campbell pile doesn't mean that you still don't have to wear that take.
Yeah, that was terrible. Like I don't, but you know who's with me on that? Them.
Who?
They thought he was the Patriots and Drake May. Oh, he gets open in a phone booth and he's so quick and pop and this and that. It never turns into consistent on-field production. So I'm done with it. Sometimes you got to pop or get off the pot, as I said the other day. Such a good line. I had to use it again.
I will say the person who had the greatest stat line of the day would be, of course, your punter, Pedro Pascal. Bryce Barringer, 2 punts, 136 yards.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Average
although,
of 6.
Outkicked the coverage on one of them.
Yeah, well, still helped the team out immensely with the 71-yard punt when he was backed up on the goal line as well.
But he kind of got an assist on a punt return. They scored.
That's okay. Listen.
What a game. All the plays. I don't have anything against him, but all the plays in that game, the good, the bad, the ugly, there were just so many.
Yep.
You know what gets lost on the step out of bounds, A-chain step out of bounds play? Marte Mapu, I think he was trying to do the right thing. Like, he was trying to keep him from running out of bounds, but you can't just let him run down the sideline by not running out of bounds. Like, it was one of the worst missed tackles you ever see. And then Robert Spillane is like, hey, what'd you say? A-chain, hold my beer for missed tackles. He was terrible. Your boy Spillane is not getting to 175 tackles in an NFL lead. He's got 6 in 2 games. He's probably missed more than he's made through 2 games.
I might have to eat that one as well in the Pop Douglas Memorial 2025
Wrap
Patriots
somebody
preseason
up.
Walkbacks. Although Jared Wilson had a nice game. So at least we'll pay tribute to people that surprisingly did well. Like I said, we'll get to more aisle cleanup. The things that Mike Vrabel, Jeremy Springer, Josh McDaniels, and in the interim, Zach Kuhr have to clean up and what they'll work on. When we come back here on the Six Rings post-game show, we got to pay some bills and also get you caught up on everything that is trending in the wide world of sports. 617-779-7937 with you until 5 after 6, and then it's time for the Mass Mutual pregame show. But right now, let's throw it to our producer, Tom C.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
With what's trending. Once again, Patriots coach Mike Vrabel, about an hour ago from Hard Rock Stadium where the New England Patriots ended their House of Horrors Bermuda Triangle ways with the stadium. They hadn't won since the Antonio Brown game. I don't mean it was an Antonio Brown game. I mean it was the Antonio Brown game since he played but one for the Patriots. 33-27, your final score. And Andy, it will be kind of interesting. Nick Fitzy Stevens and Andy Jumbo Hart here with you till a little after 6. It would be interesting if the first win of the Mike Vrabel era involved ending the Mike McDaniel era in Miami as well, because obviously embattled headed into the season. People thought they had a bad offseason. Nobody had the Dolphins as a team doing anything except regressing, possibly. I mean, McDaniels was one of the people that was off speculated, could be first coach fired. And so now they go on the road, they get smoked by the Colts. Then they actually show some life and some fight against, well, I'm not going to say a bad football team in the New England Patriots, but a team in turnaround like the Patriots, obviously a young developing team. They blow a chance to win this game as well. Now they turn around on Thursday night. They go play Buffalo. Buffalo absolutely eviscerated the Jets. You could be looking at a coach fired by the end of September or early October. That'd be kind of interesting if, you know, it's not going to be the final nail in the coffin of Mike McDaniel, but Mike Vrabel's first win could kind of basically come at the expense of a coach that a little while ago tormented the Pats.
Yeah, and the players-only meeting earlier last week was a sign of things to come. I don't think they're on the same page with the coach. And that's going to be a really interesting job with Tyreek and Tua, two guys that I don't know that everybody coming in there wants to deal with. So how palatable a job is it? Bobby Slowick, maybe he gets the interim title and they keep him. I don't know. But yes, the Dolphins are a mess. It's always one of these things that I always... You know, when you're talking about firing your coach after week one, probably means you should have fired your coach in the offseason. You shouldn't be talking about firing your coach in week one. If he was on that thin ice, you shouldn't have brought him back, but that seems to be where we're at with the Miami Dolphins, and that's good for the Patriots. That's good for Mike Vrabel, although Mike Vrabel, he might be having a wide receiver who's on thin ice. Did you see that quote from Stephon Diggs making the rounds on,
no.
Not a serious one, a fun one,
okay.
a fun quote. Regarding Vrabel chasing down the kickoff return for a touchdown on the sideline.
Which a lot of fans were making a lot of online. That was one of those, that's my coach, love to see it.
That's Harry Hardo in him. He can't help it. He's Harry Hardo. But Stephon Diggs said, yeah, I just saw it on video, and I thought, damn, is he slow? So he's poking the bear a little bit there. Good luck with that.
I like
good
that.
Good luck with that. Yeah, well, you know who should appreciate that? I don't know if he will. You know who should is Mike Vrabel, because that was Mike Vrabel on the early Dynasty Patriots. He was the only guy who had the balls to poke the bear that was Bill Belichick back then, the cachet, the ability to screw around with Bill. So, you know, that Stephon Diggs, a veteran, well-paid kind of guy, has the ability to poke fun at him. You probably need one of those, honestly, with a coach like Vrabel.
A pushback guy?
Yeah.
Because Vrabel was the most notorious. We've heard all the stories from Rodney Harrison, Ty Law, Brewski, obviously. Fourier used to tell us all the time about the guys that were allowed to give Brady crap and push back with Bill. And Vrabel was chief amongst them. And he's always been, I mean, he's by nature a ball buster. So you would think that real would recognize real, game would recognize
I'd
game.
I hope so. But there are hypocrites out there that have weird lines. And
he should say, like, that kung fu is allowed in my particular dojo. It's okay, Diggs. You're a veteran leader. Might be better if you go, you know, more than 4 for 32.
Hey, Diggs, have more than 30 yards before you're going to take a pot shot at me in the post-game locker room.
Yeah. 617-779-7937. On the subject of wide receivers for your New England Patriots, Will is in Boston and wants to join Six Rings. Ah, you know what? He didn't want to. Obviously, he...
Screw you, Will.
Yeah.
Where there's no Will, there's no way.
Oh, boy. We're in midseason form. And it's only week... And it's only week two.
I gotta tell you, I love the two-seat when I'm screwing with you.
That's... When?
Opens up the opportunities to me just kind of be the maniacal Vrabel and just do and say whatever the hell I want. You steer this ship.
Yeah, exactly. Bitch. You get to deal with steering the ship. What are you doing? There's children listening.
Behave
yourself. Just because you don't have to take the reins for a change doesn't mean you have to help us run ashore, for God's sakes. So as far as like the Diggs thing goes with Vrabel, I think it shouldn't be a big deal at all as well. I think it's
no, it won't be. It's
really
a good
fun.
Thing.
It shouldn't be a big deal.
You need lighthearted, fun back and forth.
There's
got to
be
stress
joy
relievers.
In this.
Yes,
there has
you
to,
should.
There has to
as
be
you
joy
said,
in this.
I hope they're celebrating. What do the Red Sox call them? Happy flights or whatever on the Thursday getaways.
Right.
They should be having a happy flight back to Foxborough because. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it tonight, because when you actually get to the film tomorrow and you start breaking down this game, it's going to look disastrous at times, and you're going to get yelled at. I don't care what position you are. I don't care what side of the ball you are. You're getting yelled at for something you screwed up tomorrow. So enjoy the victory, the scoreboard tonight, because the details are going to get you yelled at in film study.
Yeah, I don't want anyone saying this, you know, this flight home or the aftermath of this game was more like a defeat than a victory, because it is a win, and it's a young team that needs to. We say
a
this
division
a
road win. You don't. Yeah. Those don't grow on trees.
You haven't won in over a half decade and have a significant losing record over the last 50 plus years.
You so will not hear me. You will not hear me crap on the result or the job, mm-hmm. but the details. Like as a coach, as someone who analyzes it,
the
you
finer
have to,
points, if you will.
Yeah. There were a lot. There's a lot that was left to be desired in this game, in all three phases of the game, for both teams. That's mm-hmm. consistent. Both teams have a lot to work on. The difference is one is going to work on them in victory. That's mm-hmm. the Patriots. And one is working on them in the infancy of the regime and with players that want to buy in, that want to trust the process, that want to believe in Mike Vrabel. The other is going to work on them maybe with mixed emotions or mixed like motivations. Like, I don't know that everybody in Miami wants to fix it with Mike McDaniel.
Oh, no.
There are some that don't.
Oh, 100%. My thought on that would absolutely be that on a short week, going to Buffalo on a Thursday night, Miami just
smoked.
Bleeding and bloody and just like gimpy by the side of the road. This smoked. Is a Mortal Kombat finish. Like, I don't, what's it going to open up at?
11 and a half.
I'll go 13 and a half.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They are like, you know how they find whales and dolphins washed up on the shore? That's what the dolphins are right now. They're washed up on the shore, and people are like looking at them. I was at the beach for a nice walk, and this dolphin, you go up, you poke it.
Get it back in. Oh,
no, you don't have to get it back in. This one's already dead. Call PETA or somebody with a flatbed. Get this out of here.
Call animal control and be like, guys,
let's get this stank off the beach before it really starts to create a fuss.
Poor thing. Like, they're done. I'm sorry. Once Josh Allen will be the one who finally does the Mortal Kombat. Finish them on Thursday night, and that's it. And that's the difference right now. That's the funny thing. Like, both teams could easily be capable of anywhere between 6 and 8, 9 victories, we'll say, on the season. Flaws aplenty on both, and stars to be celebrated with some winning plays made. And unfortunately for Miami, they had potentially more winning plays, but someone stepped out of bounds, and the victory fell into the hands of the Patriots. But you can't tell me that they're going to possibly find a way to buy back in, show the resilience you need. That's going to be done, whereas the Patriots can use this as a teaching moment. Now, let's get to those things, as I was saying earlier, an aisle cleanup. What's the first thing Vrabel is going to want to work on? What's the first thing, before we get into anything defensively, anything offensively, just overall, like, imagine it's film session on Monday, and the guys are sitting down. What's the first thing he's going to, you know, great job, guys. You found a way to hold on to the win. Awesome. Now, I want you to focus on blank. What's that first thing that Vrabel wants the team to clean up?
I think it has to be the penalties.
It has to be the false starts.
Even though I know it's a physical penalty, but the Borregales not getting the ball into the landing zone, that's really a mental penalty. You're far enough into the process here. You've been doing it all summer long. Those kickers, those specialists work so long off to the side on the fields. You should be able to put it in the landing zone. So those, basically, you know, to steal a tennis term, those unforced errors. That this team is not good enough to overcome unforced errors against a quality opponent. Now, luckily today, I don't believe you faced a quality opponent, so you could overcome them. But yeah, I would start with, because the other stuff, there's plenty of physical. Missed kick, missed tackles, things of that nature, missed blocks, even a holding penalty. Those are more physical in nature, but start with sort of the, you know, control the controllables. False start is a controllable. You know the freaking snap count and don't go. It's very simple. Line up properly. Don't line up improperly. Don't have any legal formation. Like, those are all controllable, so I think it'll be those penalties.
The little attention to detail, you guys should know better already type of stuff. Parental
doesn't
penalties.
Take any talent to get those right.
Yeah, and there were some holds. I know Will Campbell, I think he had 2 or 3 penalties on the day himself. Morgan Moses had some as well. I mean, we've known that the line is going to be, and we'll put it kindly, a work in progress all offseason long. Has it been as good, as bad, or right around where you thought it would be thus far?
Better. It's been better than I thought. Over 2 weeks, I think the offensive line has been better. And I gave it credit for still a boatload of penalties. They're different penalties, but it is sort of similar to last year. Penalties were part of the story with that bad offensive line a year ago as well. So different penalties, but too many penalties. Today, you went out and did what I think we all thought they would be able to do, which was run the ball, move the ball on the ground, create some space. They created space after they did not last week. I like Will Campbell. I think he is a work in progress. I think you're going to like where that goes. So, yeah, they've been better than I expected. But you know me. I had pretty low expectations coming into the season.
For the line itself.
Yes.
Will Campbell, yeah. I know you were higher on than a lot of people in town.
Yep. I think he can be a tackle. I know people are starting to talk
the guard thing.
It's been
refreshing to not hear about the arms for a while. Yeah. I haven't heard any like short arms or, oh, he lost this guy on his reach. Like, that hasn't been an issue. So
Nope. It's
the other stuff that he needs to clean up and work on. That will become priority one for Will Campbell going forward. All right, guys, we're going to take one more break. When we come back, a final home stretch super break here with Fitzy and Hart on the Six Rings postgame show. We'll get to some of the offensive matters, some of the defensive matters, some of the special teams-oriented issues the Pats will want to clean up before they do battle next Sunday in a 1-1 times 2 affair with the Steelers coming to town. Quick preview of Steelers versus Patriots, and, of course, we will race through all your 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock scores. And, of course, you couldn't listen to a Six Rings postgame show without Andy's thumbs up, his thumbs down as well. So we'll get to all that in our final break here. So happy to have you guys in victory for the New England Patriots on this properly sized Six Rings postgame show.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Show. The longest pass play of Drake May's young career, the longest reception of Ramondre Stevenson's now 4-plus year career, and I dare say the play of the game as it helped turn things around offensively, momentum-wise for the Patriots as they pull out the dub 33-27 in Miami. A house of horrors it is no longer, or at least not for now. This is the final segment of the Six Rings postgame show in victory for your New England Patriots. Fitzy and Hart with you, and you at 617-779-7937. Andy, it has been so long since we've been able to read off the Cars for Kids player of the game. I darn nearly forgot to, but of course, we got to get it in because A, it's sponsored, and B, the people want to know who you believe the player of the game was. So here it is, the Cars for Kids player of the game, sponsored by our friends at Cars for Kids. It's the easy way to donate your car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K, or call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. All right, Andy, I had Tom come back with that play because I figured the player of the game would likely be one of either of those players. Ramondre Stevenson, tough offseason, challenged potentially by Travion Henderson, the rookie second-round pick, still running with his signature power, very much looks like Mondre, slimmed down, seems a little quicker than before, and of course, Drake May, comfortable, cool, calm, and collected, 19 of 23, two touchdowns, 230 yards, and a rushing tutty. Who do you have for player of the game?
So while you were talking, I was doing the famous Jameis Winston eating the dub. Dub, 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 yum, yum. You know what a dub is when you turn it upside down? It's an M. That would be a Drake May M. You don't get this victory without Drake May. The best game of his career. Efficient, decisive, confident. Basically what I would say is everything he was today was what he wasn't last week against the Raiders in the opener. He just did an awaken 180 and turned things around for his team. So a little free one there for my friends at Awaken 180. I thought Drake May just controlled the game from start to almost finish. There was a little lull in there, but I don't think his play ever really bottomed out or lulled out. He was good all day. It was sort of some of the things around him, penalties and different things. So if Drake May plays this way, then you people that believe this is a 9-10 win team, like things of that nature, this is hopeful. This is what we've been wanting to see. I don't know whether I can go all in Adam Schefter. He's got it. But today was the best day of Drake May's career, and now we can build off that and try to stack some games, as the coaches like to say.
I will say that it was not necessarily a get-right game to me all week long. I thought it would be a get-better game or a turn-things-around game, and they did not improve wholesale, lot, and lump, but there were definitely a lot of things that got better in this game as well. You win today. Maybe next week you win at home against the Steelers. then maybe, or you most definitely should be able to take care of business against the Carolina Panthers. All of a sudden, after last week languishing in the rain in the home debut in a game that was completely bereft of joy or quality execution, suddenly September could be a 3-1 affair. The schedule gods, ever in your favor, gave you a reasonably soft October. Now I'm going to start to wish that I took the over for Patriots 3 wins as opposed to 3 wins or more for the Sox, considering the way that's been trending. You could be looking at a team 5-3 or 6-2 by the time you get to Halloween. Now I'm going to pump the brakes.
Because please, I know, do. There's a lot. Jam a lot on them.
I more hit the brakes so hard. No, I grabbed the emergency.
What are those hills filled? What are those hills on the side of the road?
I don't know. What is the name, like, of that? The runoffs.
Yeah. I would even maybe veer into the runoff right now because late in the show, you've got to.
I grabbed the emergency brake. We're fine. It's okay.
It's not working.
I left some tire trails. There's a little smoke out there. But things could go well for them.
Did you just say 6-2?
If they go 3-1 and 2, well, I'm just doing math. I said they could. It's not off the table.
As Dan Ball likes to say, if his aunt had wheels, she'd be a bicycle.
Sure. However, I don't necessarily believe that to likely be the case. But it does sort of beg this question. With Drake,
what would you be saying if they had lost today? If he hadn't stepped out of bounds?
Oh man, they're going to go 2-6. It's an absolute disaster.
I'm just doing math. 1-3 plus 1-3 is.
That's why Mike Vrabel. Yeah, no. Then and if they, well, the Steelers also were up 17-3. I stopped paying attention. I thought they won that game. They got their doors blown off and their junk handed to them. So let's say Drake May plays games like this more frequently than not. Less last
You're
week,
good.
More games like this.
Great year.
Yeah, if it's somewhere between 180 and 250 yards, 70% completion percentage, 1-2 touchdowns a week, to me...
How many turnovers did he have?
What's that?
How many turnovers did he have?
He had 0.
That is the most important part of his stat line.
Yeah, that's... the whole idea of, like, being efficient, dynamic when necessary, like... Today he played the kind of game. It wasn't the, oh my God, Drake May, 4 touchdowns, 80 rushing yards, 310 passing yards. But it was more than just good enough. It was an excellent, it was an efficient game that at times rose to the challenge. And overall should be declared very good to, if not maybe excellent. So with more games like that than not, is this the Drake May that we've been looking for? Is this the Drake May that will convince you, if he plays more games like this than not, that by season's end, you'll say, all right, I'm not sure he's got it. He's got something, but we definitely got a dude.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I left the game comparing him a little bit to Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is an MVP candidate. Jalen Hurts is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Jalen Hurts is a guy who leads his team to victory more often than not. And Jalen Hurts is surrounded by elite talent at so many positions. Drake May did it today with whatever the hell you want to call the talent around him and that mix. So, yeah, this is a nice step forward. It's not the end, be all, end all. I still think there's a lot more room for growth in his game. But I think he needed this. You know, I don't know if it's a confidence builder or whatever the hell you want to call it. Proof. What was Curran's term? Proof of concept, something, whatever. Like, I just think this is a game that he needed to feel, we needed to see, and we got it, and it's a leaping off point, and let's use it to move forward.
And imagine if people like Steph Diggs, Kayshon Boutte, and Pop Douglas combined for more than 6 receptions together.
Yeah, I mean, Pop Douglas, we're really going to count on Pop Douglas.
Nope. No, he's
I'm done
he's
with done. Pop Douglas. Toast.
That's it. So you're out on him. So if he turns it around.
Nope, I'm out. He just doesn't have it. If we're going to talk about it with other people.
What are you breaking up with him via, like, email? That's just, who does that?
He just doesn't have it. I'm ghosting him.
Wow.
I will not be responsible.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Your new number, who dissing him?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
Andy Hart. Okay, first thing defense gets to work on. It's probably not going to be Terrell Williams in the room. It'll likely be Mike Vrabel and Zach Kuhr. First thing they get to work on this week.
Tackling. I thought the tackling was putrid, starting with your middle linebacker who's supposed to be a tackle machine for 200-plus tackles, blah, blah, blah. But he wasn't the only one, that A-chain up the middle, catch and run. There's no shame in a middle linebacker getting beat by a one-on-one running back with some speed, but somebody's going to tackle him. That play exposed the concerns in the middle of the field, the safety position. I don't think that play happens if Jabril Peppers is still on your football team. But he's not, and it did. They need to tackle significantly better. I would also say I didn't think the pass rush was great. I know you and others were like, this line stinks for Miami. They're going to feast on this line. They got like journeyman backups to journeyman backups, blah, blah, blah.
They should have, but they didn't, surprisingly. And there wasn't much pressure to be found until they needed it late. Landry had a big sack in the fourth quarter, and obviously Milton Williams finished the job late in the game.
But it wasn't there consistently.
No.
And if we're going to expect to lean on somebody in matchups, I think it's fair to expect Barmore, Williams, Landry, and Chasen to beat up a bad O-line more than it's fair to expect Alex Austin and these other poor guys in the back end to cover Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. They got left on an island in the back end today, and I think the pass rush is part of that. They need to be better up front, especially in these matchups. I don't think they're going to win all matchups, but in a matchup like this, you need to be better and be more impactful on the game.
And I think on special teams, I think we don't even need to spend more time on the idea of, Borgalis, could you just kick past the what would you say you do here portion?
You know those
of
two yellow
career?
Sticks? The ball's supposed to go through.
All you got
to
do.
Through them. Like, is he confused?
Not off them.
You know
not
how they,
to the left or the right.
I don't know if he understands the assignment. The assignment is to kick it through those things.
Correct.
You need to start thinking about who's going to be available as your kicker, because I believe Parker Romo is now with the Falcons.
I was just going to say, you can enjoy the guy that should be your place kicker, as Andy Borgalis should be on the Patriots practice squad, taxiing his way through a rookie year watching. That guy's going to be kicking tonight for the Falcons. You could call up Jake Moody, but he stunk enough that San Francisco said goodbye. Yeah, Younghoe Koo got released by the Falcons, hence why Parker Romo is kicking, or perhaps he's injured, or both. He just stunk. He missed a big kick last week.
Could bring him back. So. He was in Patriot land once upon a time.
He was a Pat. I know. A lot of kickers around the league at one time or another were a Pat, but when you have two guys that basically kick for you for 25 years total, that'll happen more often than not. All right, let's get to it, folks. I know everyone has been waiting with great anticipation and much lather and froth. Here comes the return of Andy Hart's thumbs up, thumbs down. These are the players that Andy Hart believed had a good enough game that he should merit some praise and some hyperbole there.
So you lead off with, and we just talked about it, so we don't need to use a lot of time here, Drake May. Great bounce back performance. Great job. He's the leader of your offense. He's the leader of your team. I thought everything that you wanted to see from him, you saw today. I would say that came in conjunction with the offensive coordinator. I thought Josh McDaniels did a nice job. And I would give a double dip coordinator nod, Zach Kaur. He is not really the coordinator. I thought he stepped up. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't great, but it was good enough to win. So I'll give him credit for taking over where he was needed. Kayshon Booty, one catch, but one catch that you needed. You needed that catch to win this football game. And he, on a team that doesn't have playmakers, he's proven himself a playmaker. And that relationship that continues to evolve with Drake May, I think you'd like to see some more bigger numbers on a consistent basis, not, 1 week it's 100 yard, 1 week it's one catch. But Kayshon Booty made the play. Obviously, Ramondre Stevenson, that catch was phenomenal. I don't think it got enough credit, and I'm a believer that Ramondre Stevenson, I mean, he caught 69 passes a couple years ago. The guy can catch.
He was the leading receiver for the Patriots one season.
Yes, but that catch is difficult for some tight ends. And he is a running back. Like, he doesn't spend as much time in his job day to day making catches like that. And I don't think that can be overstated how big a catch that was for the longest catch of his career. Also the longest pass of Drake May's career on that single play. Brooks Barringer, Bryce Barringer, had a great day. Only two, but he had to crush the ball. He crushed the ball. Now, it's not his fault that Brendan Schooler, your all-pro, couldn't tackle. And the other guy, number 22, maybe Charles Woods, also missed the tackle there at the point of attack. Gave up a touchdown, but he did his job. And Milton Williams, I know it's the milkman, and, I would have liked to have seen it with a little bit more regularity. But when you make plays with the game on the line, those are the plays that matter most, right? That's the Derek Jeter clutch factor, whatever you want to call it. So I would even sprinkle in a little Harold Landry there. I'm disappointed in the pass rush, but when they needed it, they got it.
3.5 sacks on the season. Pretty good.
Yep, that's a good number. Let's hope he doesn't pull a Keon White and do that through like 2 weeks and then end with like 4.5 for the entire season at the end of the year. The backside, the downside, the bad side of things.
Thumbs down.
I've sprinkled it throughout Robert Spillane. For a tackle machine, I need you to tackle. I thought he missed a lot of tackles. It went for a big hit on one of them. bounced off, missed a tackle flat out, then was chasing A-chain, which I guess can happen, but in conjunction with the rest, and just the pure volume. I believe it was three tackles again. I think he has six tackles in two games, three tackles per game. So he's on pace for like 40-something tackles, 50 tackles. That's about 125 shy of what you people told me he was going to have.
He did indeed, although Spillane did add a sack to the mix today, so... So 51 tackles and eight sacks.
When was the sack?
The ESPN stat sheet has him with a sack.
I don't know. I need more tackles. I don't even care about the sacks. I want more tackles. The penalties are the worst part of this game for both teams, probably. The Dolphins should be just as embarrassed as the Patriots in terms of penalties. Pop Douglas, you know, you got to show up and do more, or it is time to give us Efton Chisholm. If you're not going to be a volume guy in the passing game for Josh McDaniels, then bring up Efton Chisholm and give him his chance. The kicker, Borogalis, you got one job. You need to do it, and you're not doing it very well. Missed two PATs. And Mike Vrabel wasn't going to give him the chance on that long field goal until there was the penalty. People will miss that. He was going for that play on fourth down until it became fourth and seven or whatever it was. Then he let him kick the field goal. He hits it. Feel-good moment. Not for very long because he immediately can't hit the landing zone on the kickoff. Another mistake. And then you said it earlier, the CBS broadcast, because it annoyed most of the world. It was terrible.
Indeed. All right, there's your thumbs up, thumbs down. First of the season from Andy Hart, because this week's postgame show went longer than 3.5 minutes. Next week, of course, it is Steelers at Patriots. Andy, in 15 seconds, your lightning-fast preview of that affair at Foxborough. 1 p.m. kickoff from the Razor.
If I'm going to get the Drake May that I got today, I got a chance in that game. The Steelers are not a great football team. If you saw that kickoff return mistake they made where it bounced over the returner's head, he thought you didn't have to recover it, and he just allowed it to be recovered in the end zone. Idiocy for Mike Tomlin's team. Who knows what? They do have some weapons. They can make some plays. But if you're going to be efficient like you were the first two drives, you got a chance to beat all these mediocre teams. And the Steelers are a mediocre team. So if you play like you did today offensively, you'll have a shot.
And then we can get out of the runoff on the highway, not tap the emergency brake, and the Pats will be 6-2 at Halloween.
Settle down.
Hey, all right, settle down now. All right, hey, it was a fun game. Like Andy said, it was entertaining, much to be fixed, much to work on. Criticisms could be found, but more joy in Patriots Nation tonight. For him, you know where to follow him and argue with him online. He's at Jumbo Hart. This is your old pal at Fitzy GFY, Nick Stevens. Thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of Six Rings and Football Things. Once again, on the postgame show, the final, New England Patriots 33, Dolphins 27. Great job, Tom Crisafulli, back at the flagship. We look forward to talking to you tomorrow. We'll talk to Drake May. We'll talk to Marcus Jones on WEEI Afternoons. The TED Talk coming at you on Tuesday for the full breakdown. For now, that's it. We'll talk to you guys soon. The MassMutual Red Sox pregame show is coming up. And, of course, Sox-Yankees, boy, do they need this one tonight at 7:10 p.m. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, everyone.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.